We are up to Eif Paragimel. We are up to Pasik Dalet. Okay, we are in the first Ma'ana, the first response of Eif. Eif now breaks the silence. We learned yesterday the first Shri Psukim. Eif curses the day he is born. He curses the day that he was born. He curses the moment he was conceived. And he begs Hashem, or he curses that moment should not be a recipient of any bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing should be from that day. Pasuk Dalet. Now the rest of the parashah goes on. There's a lot of repetition. It's not repetition, of course, but the theme is the same. The theme is he basically curses every part of that day, and every moment that and every part of the process of his birth. So Pasuk Dalet, Yigaluhu Choshech Vitzalmodes. The word Yigaluhu means may it be defiled. Goal normally is spelled with an ayin. Okay, Geula, redemption, is spelled with an aleph, and the defilement is spelled with an ayin. So here, but the letters are interchangeable, and there are different examples. In Rashi quotes different examples, good morning, where the aleph and the ayin are interchangeable in this word. Here it means, Yigaluhu Choshech Vitzalmodes, may darkness, and may the shadow of death. Tzalmodes means the shadow of death, which basically means another, it's a synonym for darkness. May it defile, may it contaminate, may it defile.
It's a synonym for Gehenna.
Okay. Gam ki elich begeit salmoves lo ira ra'a. As I go through the valley of death, the lo ira ra'a, but the puzzle here says, Yigalu choshech vit salmoves, may darkness and salmoves, the shadow of death, may it defile, may it sully, may it dirty, may it make disgusting that day, the day of my birth. Tishkon, and put a comma, the trup here, and I have a different edition than you have, but the trup, you know, the Tamei HaMikra, a little bit confusing, because it's not that we mentioned the Hakdam, it's not the classical Tamei HaMikra that we use when we read Chumash and Haftarah and Nevi'im. These are the difference in Emes, the Tamei HaMikra of the Sifrei Emes. Eiv, Mishlei, and Tehillim. So it's a little bit hard to keep track of where they put the break in the pasuk. But the next words go together. Tishkon alav anana. There's a lot of repetition. May a thick, dark cloud rest upon this day. It should be darkened. Yiva'asuhu, may they terrify it. As if the day is a living organism. May the day be terrified, kimirire yom, like the terror of the demons of the day, or the heat. They're different translations, do one thing at a time, like the demons, like ketev miriri. Ketev miriri is the name of a demon, a very scary demon that exists at midday. Chazal say if a person's eyes would be open to see this demon, ketev miriri, the terror would be so great, he would die. A human being could not withstand the terror of witnessing, of seeing such a monster. Okay, Kim Rusalifa, may the day be terrified, just like the terror. The day should be an ugly, disgraceful thing. It should be a moment of terror, just like the demon called Merire Yom, the demon of the day, which is known as Ketev Meriri. And Mela, what does the pasuk mean according to this interpretation? If the day is something which is a source of terror, it's a source of darkness, then nothing will become anything good, and no, it will not be possible for a human being to be born, or for this day to be part of the cycle of time to be included, because it's been defiled, it's been darkened, and it is a source of terror. Three different concepts are being presented here in this pasuk. The Yigaluhu is number one. Tishkon alav anana, it's enveloped in darkness, and it has become something which is a source of terror. Let's take a look at Rat in the Metzilas Pasuk Dalet. Yigalu choshech v'salmodes, yilachlech v'yitaneif also, v'tishkon alav cheshkas se'anan. So he puts the two parts of the Pasuk together. May it become filthy, lichluch and tinuf, two different words which mean the same thing. Soiled, and may it rest upon this day. May it be enveloped in cheshkas ha'onon, in a thick dark cloud. The next words, yiv asuhu, may they, whoever they are refers to, meaning whoever they are, maybe Hashem it means, or maybe it means the Malachim or the demons. May they make this day into a day of terror. Yivasuhu, yifachtuhu, toikef chamimus. Chamimus, what's the hey yud vav there? Chamimus. Now, according to the words of Rashi, Hayom, I'm sorry, Chamimus Hayom, okay, the leaves of the Mem, Hayom, the heat of the day, according to the Mitsudos, this is now what Rashi says, the word Kimrirei is a synonym for heat. It's an unusual word. Take a look at the Mitsudos Tzion, how he translates the word Kimrirei, Inyan Chamima. It means heat. We have been darkened like an oven. Ubo behakefa lamid. What's the lamid?
He says it on a meiri.
Should be fiery.
And the other one is yibasu.
Yibasu means fiery.
It should be terrified.
Yibasu says for meiri what the Mitsudas Dadam says for yibasu.
No, it's all going together. Because Mitsudas Dadam and Susan is the same. They're the same, just an explanation, the words and the idea. But look, yibasu means meloshon ba'osa v'charod, the terror. Everyone agrees the word yibasu means terror. It should be, now according to the Mitsudas, it means that when something is frightening, it means it's producing heat. There's fire, and when there's fire, fire produces smoke, produces steam. So that steam causes it to become blackened or darkened or frightful. Okay, look, let's look at the words the Mitsudos see. One thing at a time. Yivasu v'loshen ba'asa v'charada kimirei inyin chamima kimo ketanu nichmaru. Uba be'akefel lamid ha'chipoel al mishkal sagrir. Okay, another example. I don't know what that example is. But let's look at the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David says, Yivasu yifachtu toikef chamimus. May the toikef, the intensity of the heat, cause it to become afraid, cause it to become a source of fear. Hayom, Ratzulaymar, ho'idim ho'ilim, the smoke, the steam that rises, besibas, due to the cause of the toikef hachayim, the intensity of the heat, yimnu'u oiro, will deny light. So according to the Mitsudos David, it's a continuation of the theme of darkness. That due to the intense heat, there will be smoke, and smoke prevents light from being seen. Smoke is a source of darkness. That's how he wants to learn Kimuriyom, like the heat of the day. May the day be terrified, a source of, may they frighten the day, Kimuriyom, like the heat of the day. When the day is a very hot day and there's smoke coming out of the earth, a volcano, whatever this means, then there is darkness. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi looks a little bit different. Rashi looks like I told you when I expressed it over the Pasuk Dalit, Yigolehu, Kimo Lechem Migu'ol. Disgusting. Bread that is disgusting. Here, Rashi wants to point out the word Migu'ol, even though there's an Aleph and there's not an Ayin, it can mean defiled. Bame Ga'al Nucha, how have we defiled you? Again, the Aleph is interchangeable with the Ayin. Lichluch, tzalmavis, tzel shelmavis, the shadow of death, also darkness. She'ena meil oilam, such a shadow does not produce light forever. Anana afela, darkness. Kim rireyom. So here Rashi is not saying like the Mitsudos. He's not referring to the theme of darkness, smoke, which comes from the heat. Heat from intense heat produces smoke, which makes the day dark. But rather, he takes this to mean demons. Kim rireyom shadim hamushalim hamoishlim batzaraim, which are. Operate during the day. Different shadim have different shifts. Shade also needs a vacation. Shade doesn't work 24/7. Only works an eight-hour shift. So at this shade is the shade that's miyuchad to operate. His shift is midday. Kimo ketev miriri. For example, the shade called ketev miriri. V'umoshal bat zoharayim. This shade operates in midday. Shenemar umiketev yoshud zoharayim. Yoshud means a force. Ketev is the force that operates Tzaraim in the midday. Okay, so according to Rashi, we'll leave with Rashi. Rashi, simpler Rashi is over here, even saying three things. May the day be defiled, may the day be dark, and may the day be terrified. May a force come upon this day and cause the day to be terrified, like the terror of Miriri, the Ketev Miriri. Pasuk, hey. Halayla hu yikochei oifel. Now, see, he repeats the same thing again. Halayla hu, that evening, yikochei oifel. Now, may it be taken by darkness. Ofel is another word for darkness. May darkness, same idea, envelop this day. Period. Next. Al yichad bimei shana. There are different interpretations. One interpretation is, may it not be echod. Echod means one. May it not be part of the cycle of time. Bimispar yirachim al yavo. May it not enter into the cycle, into the number of months. Okay, two different expressions. Every single day is a year. In a year we have days, and every single day is part of the year. And a day is also...
solar or lunar?
Possibly. Every single day there are two different dinim, like a lamdash din. A din is one of 365 parts of the year, and a day is also one of 30 of a month. So this day should not be a participant in the yearly cycle, and this day should not be a participant in the monthly cycle. It should be completely obliterated. Mitzudos pasuk hey halayla hahu asher ibar bo avi esimi, referring back to what we learned yesterday, the night when he was conceived. Yikochei ofel ha'ofel yikachoso lichelko lishamish bo. May darkness envelop it. May darkness control this day. It should be its domain, part of its domain. Al yached. What does it mean? Al yichad. Al yis. May it not join. According to the Mitzudos, the word yichad means from the word echod. We'll have another interpretation in a few moments. But here it means it should not be joined with all of the other days of the year, with the other days of the month, to be one. And this theme is repeated in different words. Look at Rashi. Rashi has a whole different interpretation of this meaning, of this curse. Pasuk hey, al yichad, yichad lash in the word of simcha, like vayichad Yisro. Yisro rejoiced al kol hatoiva, over all the good that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
That isn't what Rashi says in Shemos and vayichad Yisro.
There he says both. There he says, "Nesmale b'saro chidudim chidudim." His flesh was filled with cuts because he has so much pain. He was terrified. He saw how Klal Yisrael, the destruction of the enemy. And he was a descendant. He was also part of the Umos Olam. And you should not cause tsar to a ger, even for 10 generations, because he will feel the pain of the other nations. Okay, but simply means.
In the introduction to Eov in the Art Scroll, he points out that it's several places that Rashi's Hayrish. He
interesting.
Something
and it's not the same. It's different. Very interesting. Okay. That's also common. We have it all over the Gemara also. Rashi in different places says different things, all depending on the context. Rashi always says, Lebasi el Lefarish.
Yeah,
Rashi.
But he breathes from the other place where he says different. But here
it's the opposite.
Okay, in a Hanami. So here Rashi is taking the word yichat mean to rejoice, and he's saying that that night, that evening, shall not be a moment of rejoicing. Now, what does it mean exactly? So Rashi explains in more detail. Al yismach ma vayichad yisro, perish acher, al yisachad. Another perish is al yisachad should not be one with the calendar. In other books, this other interpretation does not appear in all editions of Rashi. Okay, so he does, but at least it's in parentheses, he does mention the other interpretation, like what it says in the Mitzudos. And it should not, there should not be a moment of rejoicing. It should not, fine, that's what it basically means, it's a time of tsar. Now that idea will be expressed in more detail, I think, in the Mitzudos coming up a little bit later. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav, Hine Halayla Hu Ye Galmud. May that night, the night that I was conceived, may it be a moment of galmud, of solitude. In other words, no human being, no, it should be all, whatever, it should be all alone. It should be all on a deeper level. It means that should be a moment of time when no two human beings, no man or woman should ever come together and produce a child. A person that does not have children is called galmud. He's all alone. He's living without children. That night should be a night of galmud. No human being should come into existence. Should be conceived, because it is, like we learned yesterday, it is a very evil constellation. It is a very bad time. And if someone will come, we be conceived at that moment in time, we will have a life of misery. Al tavo rinona bo, may song not come to that night. May joy not come to that night. Now, what does that mean? Let's see, it's according to the similar interpretation of the Mitzvot. Pasuk Vav, Yigalmud, Kol kach yigdal bo hachoshach. The darkness of that night should be so great. Ad sheyihye yichidi, it should be all alone. Rotzo loymar lo yelchu vo chavuros anoshim yachad litayel. People should not go out into the street. It should be a night of darkness, where people will not go out into the street. And how does that refer to joy? What does that mean? If people are not going to go out into the street, then there's not going to be song. It's customary that when people go together in the street, they walk together, they sing. It's customary to sing and to be merry when they travel on the road. But if no one is traveling in the evening, then it will not be heard in the street any form of song. So that gets a continuation of how he curses the night. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav, begalmud yochid, v'chosar me'odam umikol b'ria, may be lacking from man and any creature. The night should be completely obliterated. There shall be no human being or no creature that is alive in existence during that moment of time, because its constellation is a horrible one. According to the Medrash, it means, Renana means song of Malachim. Malachim sing. The word Renana, Rina, is a term that's used in reference to the song of Malachim. And what he's saying is, even the Malachim, that moment of time, Al Tova Renana Bo, even the Malachim should not be permitted to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Mitzudos, according to Rashi, referring here to human beings, Bria, Adam, Ubria. But on a deeper level, even Malachim should be silent at that moment, because it's a cursed moment of time. Pasuk Zayin. Yik vuhu oireyom. May it be cursed by the people who cursed the day. We'll see what that means in a moment. And now we have a very difficult expression. Ho'asidim, by those people who in the future are destined, orer, live your son. To arouse, live your son. So now, what does it mean, live your son? So a simply means eulogies. Live your son is a very rare word, and simply means eulogies. People who, the professional eulogizers, and those people who arouse crying and mourning and expressions of pain. Those people who the word so Livyasan is the word that describes their hespedim, their eulogies. So may that day, one more time, the entire pasuk, yikvuhu oreyom, the people who curse the day. Now let's learn for the moment, it means people who give eulogies. As we'll see in the Mitzudos, it was customary that when there was a very great tragedy, the professional eulogizers would curse the day. That's how they would arouse the people to cry. May this day upon which this tragedy has occurred, may it be cursed. So the Orereyom is a keyword for professional eulogizers. Just as they curse days that are days of tragedy, may they also curse the day of my conception. And Ho'asidim, and he just repeats himself, may those people in the future, from all future generations who will get up to give words of eulogy, may those people, Ho'asidim, who in the future, who will over, will arouse, live your son, words of lament, words of sorrow, may they now come forward and curse the moment that I was conceived, the moment that I was born. That's one interpretation. Now, there are many others. Let's take a look at the Mitzulos and see how he translates the words. Yikvu means to curse. Hasaftanim, the eulogizers, hameororim, who curse. Okay, the word hamor means oror, the Sharish is Oror Behespedam in their eulogy, Es Yom Misas Hames, the day that this person died, Asher Yispiduhu, when they eulogized him, that was their custom. The custom was to curse the day that a great person has died, Umuchonim Hemolo Or Avelus, and they are prepared. This is their profession. They are prepared to arouse mourning. V'limdu l'shoinam, they have trained their tongues le'orer, to curse, ulekalel, two the words which mean the same thing. Hema, may they come forward now and yikvuhu es halayla hahu, and curse that evening which I was conceived. This is the way the mitzudos and I look in the mitzudos tzion, the word liviyasan, the word liviyasni translates inyan avelos. It means mourning, and in this context, it's being used as an expression of mourning, the ones who arouse people to mourn. It's an expression. Uvi lo sa'ar isha leviyasa b'moed. A woman is not allowed to sing or to express words of mourning b'moed during the festival. Okay, so also we find the word in the Yerushalmi leviyasa is a word which means to express feelings of mourning. Now let's see Rashi. Pasik Zayin Yikvuhu Yikaleluhu, curse Kimo Kavali with Bilam. Bilam made a request. Balak made a request to Bilam. Kavali, come and curse for me these people. Orureyom Hamekalalim Esimehim. Now Rashi here says something different. There are people who are very frustrated. Rashi is not learning over here. They were dealing with professional eulogizers. Rashi is dealing here with people who are very frustrated. Okay, there are people out there in the world that don't have it. They have a very hard time. And what do? They curse. Who do they curse? They curse themselves. They curse themselves. Hamekalim Esimehim. They curse their lives. They hate their lives. And they say, I wish I was never born. So I wish this day never happened. And they say this about every single day of their lives because they live a life of misery. Eov here is summoning these people and saying, those people who hate to live and you do nothing but curse the whole day, come with me. Come and also curse my existence. Lefi shehei mechavnim lekalel klo lemitach tzaram. They concentrate on cursing themselves, cursing their day because of their misery. Hoasidim orer livyasan lihios aru. Now here he has another. Now according to Rashi, something very complicated. Those that will arouse livyasan lihios aru, and the word aririm. Orer comes from the word childless. Okay, we have a person who is a aririm yihiyu. Okay, the word means a person that has no children. That's so Rashi is taking the word orer and not translating it as to arouse, but is using it right. It's also used. It's another word which is used to refer to someone who's childless. Aririm yihiyu. They have no children. And livyasan, according to Rashi, we'll see in a moment, means union. When a man and a woman have marital relations, that's called livya. Livya means to accompany. It means to join together. Alkenya love ishi elai. Why did Leah call her second child called Levi? Because now that I had a second child, my husband, what?
Third child.
My husband will be joined. Ruvein, Shimon, Levi. Alken Yilave Ishi Elai. I only have two hands, so I now need some help. My husband will be joined to me. So the word Leviyosan here means when a man and woman mate, when they join together in their attempt to have a child, but fail. And when they fail, they are called Aririn. They are left without having children. And this is a great form of tsar. This is, in fact, probably the greatest form of pain where you attempt, or the greatest, but it is a very deep form of tsar, where a person attempts to have children and he fails. So here, that's what he's saying. He's saying over here, he was saying, Yikvu Oreyo, may the people who have frustration, who curse their day, may they curse me. And now we take the word yikvuhu and we repeat it. The word many of these psukim, we have to take the beginning of the pasuk and we have to repeat it to make sense of the end of the pasuk. So it's as if the pasuk is saying again, yikvuhu, may they curse it. Who are they? The people who are asidim, who attempt orer leviosan, which is interpreted to mean people who mate and try to have children and fail in doing so and are very frustrated. They will curse, and just as they curse their lot, their mazel, they should come and curse my existence, my mazel, because I also suffer with them. Now let's see Rashi. With that in mind, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Wasidim orer leviyasan lihios aririm bimach borosan mchuber, who will be aririm, childless in their union." Liyached levia shalohem, when they attempt to join together, machberes ish veishtoi mein banim, they join together when man and wife, or man and his wife, join together to bring forth children and fail mein banim, and children do not come. The Gemara Yushamri isi oro leviyasan lekoin al levoya shalohem kishayamus. A third, another interpretation, leviyasan means a spouse. When one spouse dies, the other spouse is mourns. Ein isha mesa ela labala, the ein bala mesa ela leisha. When a person dies, the one that feels the pain the most is the spouse, more than the children, even more than the parents. The one that feels the pain is the spouse. So here, that's another interpretation, livyasan, and this third interpretation refers to a spouse. Why is Livyasan a spouse? Same reason. Because Alken Yilove Ishi Eli. A spouse is the one that is connected to the other spouse. So when one spouse dies, the other spouse is filled with mourning, with pain, with sorrow, and is Ma'oireh himself, arouses himself to mourn in this pain. So that's Rashi's second interpretation. To arouse Livyasan, what does that mean? Lekoinen, to eulogize, to mourn al levoye shelohen, on their spouse. Kishiyamus, when that spouse dies. Kimo lo ye'arer al meis. Another example where a person should not, in that instance, the person was being commanded not to mourn over his relative on Yom Tov. A person is not allowed to mourn over relative on Yom Tov. So let's review. What do we have over here? We have three interpretations. We have the word that all starts with trying to figure out what the word Livyasan means. If Livyasan, the first interpretation, Livyasan means mourning, an expression of mourning. Now, once we know it means an expression of mourning, Orer means people who are professionals in arousing these expressions of mourning. Now, once we know what those two words mean, we now make sense of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Yikvu oreyom," the people who curse the day, the professional eulogizers who curse the day of tragedy, may they curse my existence. Who I see them? Who are these people? These are people who, in the future, or who is their custom. Things which people do all the time are written b'loshon osid. This is their profession. Ha'asidim, people who are orer, who arouse, livyasan, arouse expressions of mourning. Second interpretation, it refers to a group, a select group of people who are frustrated and who curse. Who are they? People who are orer livyasan, who are aririm, childless couples. People who in their attempt, Livyasan, to join together, to mate, to produce children, to conceive a child, fail and are childless, those people curse. So those people come forward and curse me, curse my existence. Third interpretation, people who mourn for their spouses. It's an enormous tsar, and may those people who mourn for their spouse come forward and curse my existence. Now there's a fourth interpretation that's given in the Medrash. And probably many of you are thinking about this interpretation even before we started, because what is the Leviathan? Leviathan is the sea monster. When Hashem created the world, there was two, there was the male and female. And Hashem slaughtered one. So this is a very bizarre medrash. I'll read you what it says, because I don't understand what this...
Why it's the sea monster?
I don't understand what this means, but it's, this is more of a Kabbalistic interpretation. This comes from the Oitzer HaMidrashim, Eisenstein. You know the Eisenstein edition of the Oitzer HaMidrashim?
Yeah,
he quotes this.
There's only one Oitzer HaMidrashim of
Eisenstein. Eisenstein? There's not another? Okay. So this is what it says over there. Let me read you. It's a very bizarre medrash. Miheim oireyom mehechol ze yoytze ruach echotame shmo Arwiria. There is some type of a demon called Arwiria. V'sachas yadakama elef rivavos malchi Kabbalah. And this demon has under his authority hundreds of thousands of angels of destruction. V'chulam nikra oireyom. And they're called the oireyom. Okay, so these are angels. These are angels of destruction. The Heim Mimunim. We're not dealing with people according to this interpretation. We're dealing with angels. What are these angels? What is their tafkit? Why did Hashem create these angels? The Heim Mimunim al Hamakalal Atzmo Bekas Oy al Shvua Sa'ola. A person gets angry and curses. So these angels are sent to that person. A person gets angry and he curses. He curses himself, he curses others, so he makes a false shua. So those angels are activated. Those angels call the Oreyom. Oh, we got a customer. Okay, we got a call. We have business today. This guy down there in the earth, he lost his cool, he lost his temper, and he's now, he's ours. So what do? They have the right of Aklola Hahi Malim Oysam. They use as energy, as gasoline, the curse that has been said by this violent person or this angry person is injected into these angels called the Oireyom, and they're able now to travel with that curse all the way to the furthest heaven, ends of the heavens, to this creature called the Leviathan. Okay, there's a demon called Leviathan. Malim oisam lamala umo oirim imon nochash hakadmoini. The nochash hakadmoini called Haliviyasan. He's called the nochash akalosain, the crooked nochash. Sheyale vi oirer kololos nimrotzos chas v'shalom. And that nochash akalosain now gives forth curse to this world. B'zehu shahoya, this is what the Medrash concludes. And if you don't believe me, you think I'm making up a story that there are these demons called Oreyom that travel to this monster called the Leviathan, and now the Leviathan brings forth klala to this world. It's the Beferish Pasuk. It's a Pasuk in Sefer Iyov. The Pasuk says, B'zehu shahoya mechavin Iyov ba'amro yikvuhu Oreyom, may the Oreyom curse me. Shehem Elu, who are the Oreyom? Who are these demons called the Oreyom? They are those who are Sidim. They are the ones that are in the future will orer, will arouse, will wake up the Leviathan, the Nochash HaKadmoni, and give him Rishus, give him power to curse, to bring curse to this world. Shehem Elu Hasidim Lo'orer Leviathan Shuha Nochash HaKalosain. Harachamon Yat Silena, may Hashem spare us from this. From this, harvest. This is a mystical thing. And what do we learn from this?
Lila was also a
Lilas. Lila is the name of a demon, right? So here we have two more demons to add to the list. The demon's called the Oreyom, and the demon called Leviathan. So what do we at least learn from this? At least the Musar Haskel, even though we have no idea what this means, but at least the Musar Haskel is not to get angry. V'hoser kas, says in Koheles, v'hoser kas melibucha. Person has to learn how to control his anger, to take away. V'hoser kas melibucha. It's a very hard thing to do. If you're a frustrated person, all of this, so it's not a good thing. And here we learn Al-Pi Kabbalah that when a person gets angry and he utters a curse, you're giving power to some force in the Bria that brings to this world things that are not pleasant. Okay, so a basic future tense, yes.
Also in the Megillah,
okay, but we have Rashi. Rashi says 100 times that the future tense, the past tense, the present tense, all of these things are interchangeable because someone or something that does an action constantly, consistently, it's the derech of the pasuk to write it in the future, the past. So a lot of the tenses here don't really have any significance. It just means this may this thing happen, or may this thing be, or it was, or will be, does happen. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, let's go further. Let's try some certain pasuk ches. He goes further to say the following: Yechshichu koichvei nishpo. May the morning star or twilight. The word nishpo, koichvei nishpo, refers to two different sets of stars. There are stars in the beginning of the night and the stars at the end of the night. Being that the beginning of the day, the beginning of the night, the end of the day is sandwiched by the previous day and the following day. And the day is a time when there is much light. It's very easy to see these stars. These stars benefit from the light of day. So these stars are the most visible from all the stars of the night. Other, the stars in the middle of the night are not so easy to see because they don't have the benefit to draw from the rays. I do not know how this works, but seemingly the stars in the middle of the night do not have the ability to draw from the light of the previous day and the next day. So it's hard to see them. You need a telescope. But the stars that appear at the beginning of the night and the stars that appear at the end of the night are drawing light from the previous day and the next day, and they're much more visible than the other stars. Even these stars should be fully darkened, should not exist. I want that night to be obliterated. I want that night to be so thoroughly cursed, even things which are normally visible should be invisible. Yechshichu, it should be darkened. Koichvei nishbo, the stars that appear of the neshef, the beginning of the night and the end of the night. Yikav l'or, may this evening, may it yearn, when will the darkness be over? When will the new day arrive? When will the rays of dawn appear? May this night yearn l'or, v'ayin, but may the light not come. V'al yireh, may it not see, b'af apei shochar, may it not see the crack of dawn. The rays of dawn, it should be so thoroughly cursed that it should be dark, and it should remain dark. It should yearn for light, but light will not come. This is an expression you find every so often in Chazal, using to a very powerful expression. It's not just a curse. It's if a person knows that this is it, okay, so that's it, you have closure. But when you still think you have hope, and salvation does not come, it's even more painful. Yikav, to yearn, la'or, va'ayin, and yet the light does not come. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Pasek Ches, Koichvei Nishbo. What are the Koichvei Nishbo? Af ha'kochavim ha'gedolim, the very large stars. Hanirim b'tchilas ha'layla u'vesofo, gam hima yiyu chashucha, may they also be dark, b'ha'layla ha'hu, im ki'orim, although despite the fact ki'orim raf, they produce a lot of light. Ad shelo yimona, ad shelo yimona har oisam, ba'avur kitzas ha'ora, asher hi b'tchilas ha'layla u'vesofo, because it draws from the light in the beginning of the night and the end of the night, but still it should be cursed where that light should be denied from them. Yikav, yearn, halayla hahu yikaveh sheyovo acharav or, may that night yearn for light to come. What's the light? Hashemesh, but v'lo yihyeh, ki lo tizrach hashemesh b'yom shel acharav. The sun will not rise. V'afilu bivkias hashacha, the breaking of the dawn. V'zoharo, and it shine. Lo yire halayla hahu ki lo yoyer achrav or hashachar. May that night be cursed that no day, no light comes the following morning. Kerashi pasuk ches nishbo choshech ishuno. Yishuno, the darkness, Yishuno choshech, darkness, Yishuno, two words which mean darkness, thorough darkness. B'afape, afape means rays. Biz harure k'movi afapenu yizlu moyim, our eyelids flow with more, flow.
Ayin is also the cornea.
The pupil, the pupil of the eye, the Yishon ha'ayin. Okay, the pupil of the eye is also called, it's called the ray, like rays, because the rays, it dilates. The rays of light go through the pupil of the eye and it gets larger and smaller, that it's sensitive to the rays of light. So that's what Rashi over here means. Biafape means bizaharure, the rays of light, just like we find this concept used in reference to the eyes, because the eyes are sensitive to the rays of light. That's why the pupil is called the afapenu yizlumoyim. Okay, pasik. Okay, pasuk test. Kilo soga. Now, pasuk test begins a new theme. Okay, so until now, these last couple of psukim, he pretty much was cursing the day. Everything that he said, starting with Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Ches, was focusing on the moment of conception and the moment of birth. These two days in time should be thoroughly cursed. He primarily focused on the moment of conception. All these various expressions describing from different angles how it should be dark, different types of darkness, defilement, terror, and mourning, and eulogy, and tsar. Now he goes through the process of his birth. And he begs Hashem, each moment in time in my birth, there was an opportunity for you to put an end to it. I didn't have to be conceived. And then when I was in my mother's womb, something could have gone wrong with the umbilical cord. And then I would have starved. And then I could have died as a nafel, as a stillborn. And then even if I came out into the world, you know, during childbirth, things go wrong. I could have died on the way out. And my mother, maybe she would not have been well. She would not have been able to feed me. Her body would not have been able to produce milk. There's so many opportunities you had, Hashem, to put an end to my life. Why couldn't you end it at each point in time? Why did you let me go all the way to the very end and become a healthy person only to live and suffer as I do now? Kilo sagar dalse vitne. You did not close the doors of my womb. According to the Mitsudos, this means the umbilical cord. The delus of my beten. What goes into the human being's beten? The delus. What's the delus? The door, the portal to bring in food, to bring in cargo, to bring in what the person needs, the umbilical cord. So you did not close. It could have been very simple, Hashem. You could have had brought about some type of infection in the umbilical cord, and it would have been shut, and I would have died as a stillborn in my mother's womb. No, you didn't do that. Vayaster omel, and if you would have done that, Hashem, you would have done me a very great favor. You would have vayaster, you would have closed omel. Omel here is interpreted to mean pain, may enoy from my eyes. Had you shut the door when I was in my mother's womb and closed the umbilical cord, then you would have shut down all of the omel, the pain from that my eyes have seen in this world. Let's just read a few more psukim. Lama loy merechem amos. Okay, Hashem, you don't want to do that. But you could have caused me to die in my mother's womb. I could have been a stillborn. Lama why lo merechem, not in the womb of my mother's womb, amos, did I not die? Mi beten yotzasi. Why did you allow me to come out of yotzasi? Vo'egva. Vo'egva means I could have perished. You could have allowed, why did you allow me to come forth? Why instead you should have caused me to come out of my mother's womb, vo'egva, and to perish upon birth? You'll tell me I couldn't let you die in your mother's womb because that's not healthy for your mother. It's not healthy for a woman to be carrying in her womb a dead child. That can lead to infection, that can lead to all these different medical problems, especially in ancient times when they didn't have all these advanced techniques. So therefore it would have been for the best for your mother that she should give birth to you. Okay, fine. So she could give birth. But the moment that I come out into this world, the moment that I'm born ve'egva, I wish I would have perished. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ma'adua Kidmuni Virkayim. Why did my mother's knees, those knees receive me upon my birth? When a child is born, a child comes into the knees of the mother. Umashodayim ki inok. Why did you allow my mother's breasts to produce milk that I should nurse from them and exist? If my mother's breast would not have produced milk, I would have died of starvation. Ki'ata, if had you only done that, Hashem, had you only put an end to my existence early on, now, 70 years later, I would have already been at peace. Shochavti, I would have been lying in the grave. Vo'eshkoit, I would have been in a state of tranquility. Yoshanti, I would be sound asleep. Oz yanu achli, and then there would be peace to me. Okay, is this amazing stuff? What? Yes, it's one of the few things you allowed to learn. You can learn. Let's take a look at pasuk. Let's take a look at pasuk test in the Mitsudos. Kiloi saga, rotzaloimar, bavur ze yiyu mikulolim kain al asher lo shoftu oz. You did not. You did not judge at the time of my conception in the constellation Lisker Dalsei Bitni. at least when I was born, I was conceived in that constellation, you should have Hashem brought about that the delos of my womb should be closed. What is that? Hu hatibur. This is the navel, umbilical cord. Asher derechbo, that's the delos. The umbilical cord, the navel of a human being is the delos of the beten. Asher derechbo yovei hamachol, lehazonas havlat. Ki im hoyin niskar. If you would have shut off this open way, this portal, hayisi oz meis b'me'imi, v'choye im kein, and that would have been a great advantage to me. Then I would not have come into this world to suffer. V'choye im kein nistar me'eni, it would have been concealed from my eyes, he'omol, all of the torture, asher ani atabo, which I now are going through. Pasuk Yud, Lomo lo merechem amos. What does this mean to say? If you're going to answer me, Hashem, the reason why you did not cause me to die in my mother's womb is because that would have been a sakana to my mother for her to carry a dead fetus, and therefore it's not fair that I should cause pain to another human being. Okay. I understand. So for 9 months, I give you 9 months, Hashem. I'm willing to live for 9 months in my mother's womb. But there are many complications that arise when a child is born. So at the moment of birth, I should have died right then and there. Okay, I'll give you 9 months. I should have died. And Eev repeats himself in different expressions, but it all means the same thing. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lama Kadmuni, Madua Bo Lefonai, Birke Hamyaldos. Now Rashi here in the Metzudos of the year is telling us that the knees are not the knees of his mother. There are many interpretations, so every single word, many interpretations. Rashi here in Metzudos learns that the knees refers to the knees of the midwife. That when a child comes forth, well, I don't know how exactly it was done in ancient times, but the midwife would, I guess, would sit right opposite the woman in labor, and the baby would come into the knees of the midwife, kemishpat hamyaledes, like the custom of a midwife, lekabel osi bitzesi min harechem, kemishpat hamyaledes, halaytoiv hayali lipol b'aretz v'lamos, she should have missed. When I came out of my mother's womb, I should have not been received by in the legs and the knees of the midwife, I should have better fallen on the floor, and accidents happen, right? There's always a malfunction here and there. And I would have fallen on the floor, and I would have died. It would have been to my benefit. Mashadayim, lama nimsu shadayim leimi. Why did my mother? Why did she nurse me? It would have been better had my mother not been able to nurse me. She should have suffered from some illness. I would have died. I would have died immediately. If that would have been true, I had died early on after my birth, or even in my mother's womb, I would have been lying in a grave. In peace. Had I been lying in a grave, I would have peace. The kofel hadavar b'milim shoynos. He repeats himself with different words. Now let's look at Rashi for these two. If you're spoken pasuk tes in Rashi, pasuk ki lois sagar mi sheyecholus biyodel liskar, does not say who should shut the door, but it's obvious, it's self understood from the context that he's referring to Hashem, the one who has power to close the door of the womb of my mother. The gamze min hanikros doimin lehalayla omar. This is similar to the pasuk in the beginning of the sefer. Halayla Omar, Ni Shahoya, the person that's Mukhun, the person that is in charge of the night, the person that's in charge of conception, may it have been that he did not give the command that I should have been born. Same thing over here, may the person who has power to close the portal of my womb, may he have decided that it should have been closed. Dal Se Bitni, Shayotsasi Mimenush, Im Osakein Vayaster Omol Meinai. Now, seemingly Rashi here is learning not like the Mitsudos, that the Dalsei Bitni refers to this mother's womb, which is very difficult. Basically saying, what he's pointing to Rashi, what appears to him saying is that he's referring to the moment of conception, that in order for a person to be conceived, a human being, a woman has a door. I told you that from the Mitzudos that the Delos theory refers to the navel. The navel is the door of every single person. But Rashi seems to be going with a different interpretation that's based upon the Gemara, that a woman has a door. The door to the woman is her erva, is the erva. So he's saying that it should have been that my mother's erva would have been sealed, And that way my father would not have been able to cause my mother to become pregnant. So it was referring back to the very moment of conception. The difficulty with that interpretation is, it should have said, the Pasuk should have been written in reference to his mother's beten. It says it here, bitni, my womb. My womb does not mean my mother's womb. Does not mean my mother's opening. So we have to. You can answer that. You can say that the psukim they're written in a poetic form, and it's even though he's saying my bet and my womb, it's self understood that he's referring to his mother. It's as if his mother would have been speaking, and his mother would have said, Hashem, you should have closed the doors to my. The opening to my body, the erva should have been closed, so that I would not have become pregnant and bring forth and conceive. Milos kiloi sogar dalse vitni. He's saying in the name of his mother that you did not close the doors of my beten. Okay, that's similarly how Rashi learns the pshat in the pasuk. Pasuk yud lama loim rechem amamus mi yitzi mi si me rechem. When I came out of my mother's womb, that was the next opportunity you had, Hashem, to put an end to this. Muchon lamus miyad. I should have been prepared, I should have been designated to die immediately. Umadabi b'loshon osid. He's speaking in the future tense, as if Eve is putting himself, going back in time, and is praying that all of this should not have happened. Ki ilu oimer achsha b'yom yitzias harechem, as if he's standing there at that moment in time. V'oimer lo omos ata. Should I not die now? Question mark. Would not be a great time to die now. V'lom alo. Why can it be that from the womb of my mother I come out and I perish? Why wasn't my death prepared, meant to be at that moment in time? According to the Mitzrashi, this is what I told you originally, that why did my mother's knees receive me? Ki Enoch, why did my mother's breasts nurse me, nigzar olai linak mehem. Why did you decree that I should be able to nurse from my mother? Again, he repeats the same idea, because since over here Eev is putting himself as if he's present, he's watching his own birth time of Leda. Who masked dvarm shel achra? What's happening in Beloshon Osed? Shachafti hayisu shoychev bekever. Had you been so kind, Hashem, I would have already been lying in the grave, and I would not have suffered all of this pain. Okay, so to quote the Gemara, so reading the words of the Gemara about the Delas Imi, it's a Gemara Masechta B'Choras. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kishem She Delosos Labayis, Kach Delosos Loisha. Just like a bayis has doors, so to a woman has doors. Shenemar, Kilei Sogar Dalsei Vitni. Clearly, the Gemara refers to Bitni, not to Eov, the umbilical cord of Mesudos, but it refers to his mother, Eov's mother, to her doors, her erva, that he's saying in her name that she should not have become pregnant. It's interesting. Do we even know who Eve's mother is? I'm not familiar. I don't think we know. Do we ever hear about who is his mother? Who is his father? Very mysterious. Well, who is Eov? Bigger question. Who was he? Who were his parents? Who were his grandparents? Okay, let's do one more pasuk. In Malachim, now he begins to describe what happens, what is death all about. In all these words, there are a lot of very big mysteries. If had I died, the DOA, dead on arrival, had I died in my mother's womb, I would have been in the grave, I would have been in the other world. Where would I be now? I would be together with all of the kings in Melachim, the Yoatzei Aretz, with all the kings and all of the advisors. Habaynim, who build Choravos Lamo, who build for themselves ruins. So what does this pasuk mean? First of all, either he's mocking death. He's saying, when a person is dead, it's all the same. The Nefel, the stillborn, is just as good as the kings and the Yoatzei Aretz. They're all the same. You're at peace. There's no competition. There's no jealousy. There's no taiva. Everyone is the same. That's where I would have been. Now, when he describes the kings, he says, the kings, the Yoatzei Aretz. So what do we know about these kings? These people, they're obsessed with building for themselves ruins. What does that mean in ruin? So both Rashi and the Mitzudas say the same thing. It's a custom which we're not familiar with. I don't think we have any understanding what this means exactly. But let's see what the Mitzudas says. Pasuk Yud Gimel Imulachim Hayisi Imkein Shechet. Had I died at the beginning of my existence, I would have been lying now. Imulachim V'Doymulachem Kiloy Nikar B'Kever Yisroin Zeh L'Zeh Al Zeh. There's no difference when a person is dead. It's all the same. Habaynim. Now here's what the Mitzvah says. Derech Hamulachim. It was the custom of ancient kings, the Hagadolim, great people, Livnos Orim Charevos, to select a city that has been destroyed, and to rebuild it as a monument to their life. Livnos orim charavos v'shenimos leman heyos lohem lezikor. And if you would ask me, you would say just the opposite. If you want to have a legacy, you should create something new. Right? That's what's very difficult. What's going on here?
You want an old city, famous the difference. I've been established.
Make a new city. A real legacy is you create something new. Why do you have to go take an old city that's been destroyed, go to the desert?
Historical city. I've been in Moscow.
And you're going to call it on your name. You're going to call it on your name. You take an old city that's lying in ruins.
St. Petersburg becomes Leningrad, you know.
So make a new city. Establish something new. Why do you have to go and dig up the old ruins? I don't know if that's what it says. It says your coin, and then Rashi come out and says the same thing. Let's see Rashi. Habonim Charavos Lomo, Zehu Derech Lemanide Shame. This was the custom of people who want to establish for themselves a name, a reputation, a legacy. Livnos Orim Necharavos, to rebuild ruined cities, Lizichroin Lohem. Kimo Ubanu Mimcha Charavos Olam, will be built through you the ruins of the world. The Karulucha Gode Peretz, and it's called people who breach openings. Kolaymar Im Sar Pasuk Yeshay Im Sarim Ubale Shame. Oh Halavai Shle Nedati VeEye. So what is this pasuk? What is this? Now he's going back to interpret the pasuk. Oh Halavai Shle Nedati VeEye Kenefel Umasha Kasa VeLo Eye Kenefel Tomod Mibnei Shoymin Aloshon. What does it mean? Lo Eheyesh Shoymin Aloshon Shehischil Ladaber. He's going back to the beginning of the theme. B'Loshon Tema. It's a rhetorical question. Ubusav Al Lo Molo. Madua kidmuni birkayim or madua lo eye kenefel tamen. Why wasn't it's going to be the next question? Why was it not like a nefel who had died? Okay, but I'm not clear the exact translation of the words, but the basic idea is he's complaining, had I only died, I would now be together with the kings who are involved, these famous personalities who rebuild ruins and make a legacy for themselves. A nefel is a nothing. You don't even put a name on the matzeva. You don't even have a matzeva for a nefel. Nefel is nothing. I only be like it. Okay, that's one interpretation. Rav Schwab has a different interpretation. He says he's making litzanis of all of these kings. The melachim, the yotzei aretz, what do they indeed do? They make legacies. They build cities. They conquer the world. But what's the end? The end is all of man's accomplishments are charaf. It's just a matter of time, right? All of the famous people of the past generations, the past centuries, many of them have been forgotten. All of their accomplishments have fallen to the side. They're now ruins. So it's al shem ha'asit. In Malachim, v'yotz aretz, had I only died, I would be now together with the kings and the yotz aretz, ha'boinim, and what have they accomplished? As a king and a yotzei aretz, a world leader, any better than a nefel, a stillborn? Not any better. Oh, but you'll tell me, well, they have accomplished great things, they live long lives, and they accumulated wealth, and they built cities? Yeah, where are their cities now? What happened to all these ancient cities and all their accomplishments? They're in museums. They're choravos lama. They've made nothing for themselves. They lie. Their accomplishments are ruins, have been destroyed. So when the day is over, when time is over, there's no difference between the Nefel and the Melachim. The Melachim accomplished something, but all their accomplishments are gone. The Nefel never accomplished anything to begin with. So we're all the same.
Why is the presidential library that's all that?
Why doesn't he commit suicide? I don't understand. The guy's going on, he's complaining.
He's against the law.
All they do is
good question. It's a very good question.
The man is complaining.
It's a very, I don't know the answer. It's a very good question.
To me, you know, he's just, he has one.
I don't know.
Suicidal.
Kevorkian.
If he wants it to be all,
is he still alive, Kevorkian?
He
died. But he didn't commit suicide. Kevorkian didn't commit suicide, all right?
No,
he died a natural death.
But if he's such a state of complaining,
you're right. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
Want psychological counseling from.
Maybe he would have. Maybe at some point in time, his sum only lasted for a year, and afterwards, Hashem restored his health. Hashem gave him more children than he had in the beginning and more wealth. So maybe it would have come to a point in time where he would have committed suicide. We don't know what would have happened. But at least in the beginning, he's expressing his frustration.
It's easy to talk suicide. It's harder to do it.
I guess so.
He's got three friends here.
That's not suicide.
Would you do it to a friend of yours at the end?
Okay.
Only if you win.
It's a good question.
Okay.
Are you right, Grant?
If there's enough money in it, you're real happy to do it.
All right, we will stop here. If anyone needs, there's a psychologist outside.